What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
What do you think is going to happen in this game, Sting?
I think it's going to be a really tight game.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Willard and Dibs. No Willard today. It's Dibs and Grandy with you on this Tuesday. And now we head out to the River Islands guest line because we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast now on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Stink, I imagine this is an easy week for the podcast. So many good football games to talk about. How you doing?
It is an easy week. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Awesome. We're still basking in that epic Niner win over the Eagles in Philly. I mean, let's just start with this thing. How the hell have they pulled this off all season, and how did they pull that off on Sunday?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you talk about just believing in what you have and who you are. From a play calling standpoint, to the players that you put in place, to the backups. I mean, you're on your sixth, seventh linebacker. You're picking up Eric Kendricks off the street, and he's making game changing plays. There's a bunch of dudes. Every time I look up, there's another dude making a tackle or making a play on the defensive side of the ball. And I got to look it up. Who is this guy? I've never heard of this guy. It's incredible. The coaching staff, what Kyle Shanahan has done on the offensive side of the ball, what Robert Saleh has done defensively, it's absolutely unbelievable to me what they've been able to accomplish. Good for them. I heard, you know, Christian McCaffrey's post-game press conference just about believing in each other and guys fighting for one another. And, you know, a guy like Trent Williams coming off the injury list to play. It's a special group. There's no question about it.
And you look at the two sides of the ball, and it's almost like picking between your favorite children, because the defense with the no-namers were hanging tough, and then the offense with the jet sweep reverse pass from Jennings to McCaffrey. That was a Shanahan special. How impressed were you by just that fourth quarter two touchdown sequence?
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. Obviously, you know, just pulling out all the stops, and I think the other thing that's really cool, and I was talking about this with on my radio show today, just understanding what you want position by position. And the type of player you want, not only from a physical standpoint, you know, height, speed, weight and all that stuff, but just from a mentality standpoint, and then being on the same page, having kind of that blueprint, if you will, from a coaching staff that says, hey, man, these are the type of players we want. And it kills you that Kittle goes down. But the guys who come in, you know, have a similar body type. I always say it about the linebacking core. Everybody kind of, I know that none of them are Fred Warner, but they all kind of resemble Fred Warner, or they have in the way they've drafted guys, developed guys. Al Shire's a Pro Bowler for Houston now. We've got Dre Greenlaw here in Denver. You know, they profile a certain way, and to be able to you know, have that continuity and have that coaching philosophy and stay, you know, stay in tune to that so that your backup players understand exactly what, you know, what's required of them. I just thought it was an incredible series, an incredible fourth quarter, and an incredible game.
Stink, you were talking about like what McCaffrey said post game, and just in general, the vibes and the belief that this team has held in themselves despite all of the issues they've ran into this year. Is that, you know, maybe the front office, and Shanahan, of course, is included in that. Is that finding the right kinds of guys? Or is that bringing guys in and teaching them, showing them the ways of Kyle Shanahan and this 49er franchise? Like, does that come from the head coach, or is that more a result of just who the guys are on the roster?
Yeah, I think it comes from the head coach. I think it comes from the philosophical approach of the organization. And I think the thing that you have to understand, you know, you juxtapose Philly versus San Francisco. And I think it's really interesting. I had this conversation with Sean Payton this summer. He said, you know, we had to make some tough decisions on some guys who were good football players but aren't the right guys. And the guys who aren't the right guys, you got to get them out of your locker room. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's the clubhouse lawyer guy. Sometimes it's the dude that's just a bad dude. Whatever the case may be, sometimes the guy that's just got an attitude that he mopes around, like that energy level, it just sucks it out of your teammates. One thing I'll tell you just about football in general, you know, there's 53 guys on your roster, right? And 50 of them can be great professionals. But you could have three guys who aren't, that are primary players on your roster, and their gravitational pull to suck people down with them is exponentially greater than the 50 professionals you have on your team. And you have to be aware of that, and you have to be willing to make tough decisions, and you have to be willing to get rid of good football players because they're not the right guys. And Philadelphia, they're not willing to do it. I think San Francisco has been willing to do it, and I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and perhaps the whole Ayuk saga has worked out in their favor because he's been a guy who actually hasn't been around. But I want to ask you about two guys who are around. One, Kyle Juszczyk, who kind of took that game over in the fourth, running people over. And of course, Trent Williams fighting through injury and out there playing as well as ever.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the makeup. And when those guys, you know, when Trent Williams, who's, I think he's 72 years old, when Trent Williams is out there doing that, you know, you're like, man, I got to get in line. And that dude is still a beast. And I love, like, he's one of my favorite players to watch. I probably told you guys this when I first met him.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
I was doing a game of yours 2 years ago in Washington, and I saw him in the lobby, and I was talking to my, producer and my director, and in mid-sentence, I just dropped those two and ran across, scurried across the lobby to introduce myself to Trent Williams. I just totally fangirled over him because he is such a special player, and I'm such a fan of offensive linemen in general, but that dude is as good as there's ever played. And I respect the heck out of the way he plays. And obviously the guys on the team respect him as well. And it's probably one of my coolest moments, like one of my biggest fangirl moments in my entire life. And probably one of the most embarrassing moments as well, because the guys still, all my producers, and I'm with a different crew now, different director, different producer, but they still flip me crap about that all the time.
And you stop short of an autograph and a selfie, I hope, right?
Yes, but I would have, if he was going, hey, you want to take a picture? I'd have gone, yes, I do. it was amazing, but he's an incredible player, man. And I love watching the guy play. Juszczyk is great. Juszczyk is one of those guys that, you know, like when he went initially to the Ravens, like they didn't want to draft him. And a couple guys on the coaching staff, you know, convinced John Harbaugh to draft him. And he's just become one of the great players, one of the most versatile players in football. And love watching him play the game as well. I just have nothing but the utmost respect for the way those guys play the game.
Mark Schlereth with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Stink, we hear this a lot about Kyle Shanahan and the other like great coaches in the NFL. Like you hear maybe the phrase quarterback whisperer, or you hear, well, you get that guy in that system and that coach will get the most out of those players. What does, like, for us that are not in the know, what does that mean? What does Kyle Shanahan, what does Sean McVay, what do these guys do that others don't? Like, how does Kyle Shanahan consistently get more out of some of these players than when they play elsewhere?
Well, I think one thing that he really understands probably better than most, and his dad was like this as well, is not only the issues that you have, but everybody's issues on the team. And the issues that the defensive players have. So it's not just about reading the progression, you know, it's about reading the defense and knowing who's in conflict and what you're trying to do and have a great understanding of how it all works together. And I think the really, really, like the really great coaches have this unbelievable ability to not only diagnose things and you know, and do game plan things and to be able to say, hey, man, we're going to get into this and they're going to give us this and this is where we're going to go with the football and all that kind of stuff. But really, really educate people educate their players on football totality. So it's not just about what we're trying to do, but what we're trying to take advantage of, why the defense does this. And so I think your knowledge just increases exponentially when you work with coaches like that, where you get to see the whole picture and it starts to slow the game down for you and you break the huddle. And instead of saying, hey, man, we're going to go after this, you start talking to yourself like, all right, where can I not get beat? Where's my help? What are they trying to do in this front? How does this front tie to the coverage that they always get? And your knowledge of the game just becomes, you know, just becomes so much deeper. And then you can take advantage of where your help is, where the body presence is, all the different things that you're trying to do as a football player. And I think that's one of the benefits to playing for me. It was for playing for Mike Shanahan and obviously for playing for guys like Kyle or Sean McVay.
Does the same thing this year carry over to Robert Saleh? Because I see a young defense that continues to get better and better. It's bend but don't break. I learned from you and Lo Neal and so many others about complementary football. How important has Saleh been to the way the Niners have played defensively, which is we don't rush you, we don't take it from you, but we just try to hang out there and keep you at bay?
Yeah, I think Saleh, one, the energy with which he coaches, and I think one of the things about him that I just think is phenomenal, man, his guys play exceptionally hard for him. They don't want to let him down. But I think that he takes very complex kind of concepts and boils them down and makes them very simple. And, you know, he's had a challenge this year because you can't, you know, cheat your drop spots and you've got to have great leverage and you haven't had necessarily athletes to get after people from, you know, a pass rushing standpoint with Bosa gone and some of the other players gone. So it has been, let's be on point. Let's make sure we simplify things as much as we can simplify them. And let's just go out there and play fast and let the rest take care of it. You know, I've had this conversation with Saul and with a lot of different people. Man, if all you do in the NFL is tackle well, that's all you do. All we're going to do is tackle well. It's going to be really hard for teams to put a lot of points on you. And if you're just solid and you don't give up, you know, you don't give up leaky yardage on tackles, man, you're going to be able to eventually, offenses just tend to shoot themselves in the foot, right? You get a procedure penalty, you get a formational penalty, you get a holding call, whatever, and you knock yourself out of field goal range or you end up having to settle for a field goal. Although in today's NFL, that doesn't seem to be anything anybody's interested in.
Yeah, we don't
field
do
goals.
Field goals anymore.
I can't understand the aversion to 3 points. It blows me away, but that's the world we live in right now.
I think, obviously, we've been talking a lot about Kyle Shanahan today, and one thing that I've been arguing for is I think Kyle Shanahan, not just one of, if not the most valuable coach in the NFL, but just any NFL person, that's player, coach, general manager, Kyle Shanahan is one of the most valuable across the board. Obviously, this is a quarterback-driven league, and the best quarterbacks will always be the most valuable person on an NFL team. But when it comes to Kyle Shanahan and the other best coaches in the NFL, where do they come in on that list of most valuable people? Where do they get, you know, interspersed into the player rankings? Are they more valuable than the best running backs, the best wide receivers, the best edge rushers, some of the quarterbacks? Where is the best coach, the most valuable coach, fit into the most valuable player ranking?
Yeah. Yeah, the value of the coach is, it can't be. I don't know how you measure it. Obviously, you look at players, and players are the ones that have to go out and execute and put it all together. But the coach putting you in a position of leverage, the coach putting you in a position to win football games, the coach putting you in a position to accentuate, your skill set and mitigate the weaknesses of your skill set. Those guys are so valuable. And Kyle's, obviously one of the best to do it, and he's exceptional at it. And, if you're talking coach of the year, he's got to be, it's got to be a very short list with him and Vrabel. And, I think obviously what they did in Jacksonville was huge as well. But, he's just had a phenomenal impact on the game. And you look at, you just look at the way the league is structured right now and how many football teams run a derivative of what Mike Shanahan kind of introduced in Denver in 1995 and ran that system for so long. And obviously there are tangential branches off of that system, but the root of that system is what we were doing here in the 90s. And it's incredible. It's incredible to see, the LaFleurs and the McVays and the Shanahans and all the guys coming off that tree having that kind of success.
So just think, if I had to put you on the spot and said, all right, like you can, you're drafting all of the individuals in the NFL. You take in Josh Allen. Like I said, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and then I feel comfortable taking Kyle Shanahan. Is that crazy? Would you take Myles Garrett, some of the best defenders, before you would take who you think is the best head coach, or am I somewhere near the right mark?
Yeah, well, no, I think you're close. I mean, I think that it's hard to differentiate because I've played for two of the best that's ever done it. I've played for Joe Gibbs and I played for Mike Shanahan, the two of the head coaches that I played for. And the value of those guys are absolutely incredible. I just remember sitting, getting ready for Super Bowl 32 and Mike putting on, hey, man, we're going to get into, strong right formation, strong right slot. And anytime you get in this slot formation, the weak side linebacker kicks out, to kind of get two by two outside to take away the slants. And Leroy Butler comes screaming down there and he makes every tackle in the backfield when we're running 18 handoff strong. And so we're just going to exchange that responsibility. And it happens every time. And he showed us film of them doing this and them getting Leroy Butler getting tackle after tackle after tackle after tackle in the backfield. And it was probably the third or fourth play of the game, maybe third play, whatever it was, second play. We ran 18 handoff strong out of a strong right formation, strong right slot formation. And I'm in the stance next to Zimmerman and I go, here it comes. And we scoop the backside of that formation, the backside three technique. And here comes Leroy Butler thinking he's just going to have a freelance, into our backfield, make a tackle. And I hit him in the jaw and rattled his cage. And TD cut back up inside for about 15 yards. And I'll never forget, it happened exactly the way that Mike Shanahan said it would happen. I was watching a movie and I was walking back to the huddle with Zim. I go, oh, we're going to gut these sons of guns. Like, we're going to gut them. And sure enough, TD gets the MVP and he missed a quarter and still had the MVP with 158 yards rushing and three touchdowns. So it's stuff like that. The value of something like that is incredible. Speaking of value, man, I also played for Joe Bugel, legendary offensive line coach, Jim Hanifin, legendary offensive line coach, and the godfather of the zone running scheme, Alex Gibbs, legendary offensive line coach. So, I know how fortunate I was to have those coaches in my life and the value they gave to me.
Great story. And Leroy Butler, I'm sure, was stunned that you were in a spot where no one ever had been prior to that. And you had me thinking about this game coming up on Saturday where Mike McDonald has had Kyle Shanahan's number, just held him to 3 points a couple of weeks ago. What does Kyle Shanahan have to do to try to get this offense moving a little bit in a hostile environment?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And I think one of the things about Seattle and their defense in general is I kind of look at them and you know, just going back to my playing days, man, if you have one guy that's a really good defensive lineman, kind of a war daddy, we can take him out of the game plan and all that kind of stuff. When you've got four guys that can flat get after it, right, when you've got a rotation on defense, you can keep them fresh, that's a really tough thing. You get Trent Williams back in this game. You didn't have him in the last game. That'll make a huge difference on the edge, because the edge is what killed you guys last time around. And then, you know, I think one of the things that I kept looking at back to that game, as I remember and recall, is how much, you know, how much upfield pressure you're getting off the edge, and can you have a counter in the run game to attack that, you know, where we let guys get up the field, whether that's some type of wham blocking, whether that's some type of counter blocking, you know, where we let those guys get up the field on us and we trap them and create a space out there. So it'll be really interesting. I know Kyle will have a great plan, and he'll have players back that he didn't in that week 18 matchup. But they got to keep, you know, they got to keep pretty clean, no question about it. And they got to run the ball better than they ran the ball in that week 18 matchup.
Sting, one more from me. The Seahawks will now play the Niners in consecutive games. Of course, they had the bye. It happened 10 days ago. Is there any edge? Maybe it's psychological. Is there any edge to having just played this matchup and being the losing team? Is it easier to adjust, to know what you need to do differently, as opposed to if you're Seattle, it just went so well for you? Is there any edge to being the team that just lost the recent matchup in a rematch?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that game was for the NFC West crown, right? That was for the number one seed. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like you were holding anything back. And, you know, the edge is you're going to have a couple of, you know, you lose Kittle. Did Kittle play in that week 18 game? I don't remember him playing. I remember Tonja's making a lot of catches, but I know Williams didn't play. I know Trent didn't play. It'll just be interesting. I think part of it's the challenge, man. You put that film on. Here's the one psychological advantage. Like, every guy in a locker room is kind of a type A competitor, right? And you put that film on, and you don't have to say anything. You got your ass kicked. I mean, that was a physical drubbing. And that 13-3 score was nearly as close as that score would indicate. Man, that was an ass whipping. And so, listen, man, I've been on the receiving end of a few of those, right? Man. It reminds me back in 1998, we had lost a game to the Giants after going 13-3 with the Broncos. And then we went into Miami and got whipped by Miami. And that was painful. Like, it was a whipping. And I remember them showing up here on playoff Sunday in the divisional round, I think it was. And they had beaten us in Miami, and we opened a can on them to the tune of 38-3. And it was one of those things where you just have to take that whipping. You have to watch that film and be disgusted with yourself and the way you guys played. And I think the one thing is, you know, oftentimes the other team that puts the physical whip on you gets a little confidence in that they can do it again. And that always doesn't play well or doesn't bode well for that team. So it, like, getting whipped sometimes is one of the best things that can happen to you, because as I always say, I've never learned anything about myself in the good times because I was too busy patting myself on the back. It's during the bad times when I learned that, you know, what I was made of, so to speak. So that could be an advantage for San Francisco.
Interesting.
Great story today.
We appreciate it. Oh, we might have just lost Stink anyway, but that's all right. We were about to wrap up with Stink anyway. Oh, got you back, Stink. Yeah. We appreciate your time,
Mark.
Stink. Thank you so much.
Great stuff.
You guys got to take care.
All right, there goes Mark Schlereth. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Mark is the host of the Odyssey original, the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Remember to listen to the Stinkin' Truth podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Great conversation, Dib. That's just a football encyclopedia right there. The stories that he was telling about
great
his playing
stories,
days.
And that's a good example of, you know, you get whipped, and the Niners did get whipped,
yep.
Put the score aside, and they did come back and open up a can on Dan Marino, 38-3. That was in Denver, though. This is on the road, a little bit tougher.
Little bit different. There's no doubt about that. We're sponsored by Surfside. The Golden State Warriors are back. Cheer on your Warriors with an ice-cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles, so it's easy to sip and enjoy. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. We'll react to Stink. I mean, I think he gave me a lot of ammo there, Dibs. I mean, there's so many ways a head coach has impact on a team. He said I wasn't that far off, saying Shanahan the fourth but most important individual.
You weren't that far off, but you were far off.
No.
No. Not Schlereth.
He wouldn't give me a number, but...
We could have name dropped and we would have gotten up to about 12 or 13.
Okay.
And plus,
it would have taken too long.
He played for Mike Shanahan. Of course, he's going to lean Shanahan. You know, but you're not totally wrong.
He's biased, is what you're saying?
He also said that players make plays. Coaches coach to put players in position to make plays.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. We'll talk about it when we come back. It's Willard and Dibs, Dibs and Grandy with you. Back with more next on 95.7 The Game.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.